listening to Much, a podcast and website where we pair meals with movies. I'm Ben.
I'm Andre.
I'm Leanna.
And this week, we're here talking about The Goonies. What is the date on The Goonies?
I would guess
1996.
1996?
I would have said 89.
I'm going to say 85 or 86.
Oh, okay. I'm the wild card.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Because I want to say...
1985.
Okay.
11 years off.
Directed by Chris Columbus, follows a group of ragtag kids as they search for fame, fortune, and treasure.
And rich stuff.
Specifically.
To save their house, essentially. Nice and simple, straightforward. But the reason why we're doing it is because, hey, currently it is popular and it kind of follows in the footsteps of the idea of a group of young kids. And in the absence of parents and adults, it is their kind of almost coming of age story and like transition from childhood to adulthood as they wrestle with the idea of what is actually out there and darkness, which is also something that occurs in Stranger Things as well, which is, hey, season 2's coming out.
Real soon.
I think we all enjoyed the first season.
I did.
I liked it.
I'm like, it's okay.
Yeah.
I recognize that parts of it were good, but like some things irked me about it. But hey, season 2's coming out. I'll be interested to see where they go.
Mm-hmm.
That is for sure. And hopefully...
They did Upside Down last time. I hear they're going to do Inside Out for season 2.
Have you been saying on that one for a little bit?
Huh?
Have you been?
No,
sick?
It just came up with it.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, thanks.
That's nice.
Yeah,
I'm happy about that. That's good.
Yeah.
So, instead of down, it's
Inside Out. It's going to be a kind of an Osmosis Jones type season.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh. Is it?
Yeah. You haven't seen the trailer?
You heard it here first.
The only thing I remember from the trailer was they played Thriller and the kids were dressed up like Ghostbusters.
I don't think I saw the trailer either.
I saw the Ghostbusters part. Has a trailer come out for it?
Yeah, it definitely has.
Oh, okay.
But it's one of those things you have to seek out. Netflix doesn't make you watch ads for Netflix shows. You have to go find it yourself, which I don't do a whole lot of.
Yeah.
Other than for Star Wars trailers.
But speaking of...
Those kind of find you, though.
Yeah, that's true.
But speaking of coming-of-age films and, kids kind of finding themselves and confronting darkness, we watched The Goonies, which doesn't really do any of those things, because I don't think any of the kids really grew up in this film.
Well, there were some dark places. Literally dark.
It was dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say there's some growing up in terms of, some of the characters in a romantic sense.
Yeah.
Sure.
But also, I think it's becoming an adult in terms of they are taking responsibility for something kind of thrust upon them, even though that is not their, they don't need to do it, but they are taking and being hey, we need to save the house and we are going to do it in their own ways.
Yeah.
So food for this one, which... I think we can all say we struggled on.
Mm-hmm.
But we all ultimately ended up with the concept of the truffle shuffle. An homage to Chunk, who we all, I think, liked.
He's such a sweet boy.
He's a sweet boy, but
And that's the phrase I was familiar with going into this, the truffle shuffle.
And it
That's one thing that has lasted this film in a weird way.
And it was just... I remember watching lots of kids growing up, kids films where there's kid actors in it, and there's a kid who's a little bit heavier than the other kids in the film, and that is his thing. And the other kids just rail on him, and it was hard. It was sad because Chuck was such a sweet boy.
This film is exactly in that same vein, and he is. His defining characteristics are he's
hungry.
He eats.
Yeah.
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 He's always hungry, you're right.
Yeah, always hungry.
Yeah.
And
so,
he drops stuff.
And he wiggles his belly, and that's his signature move, the truffle shuffle.
And the truffle shuffle thing, that entire thing feels like the kids are, just tolerating him.
Yeah.
Because they get enjoyment out of that single moment, but he almost seems shamed by
He didn't want to do it.
Yeah, he was reluctant.
And, poor guy.
And so our entire menu and our entire meal is an homage to him, someone who as a kid was typecast as a very specific character. And like, hey, we're just going to pay it forward, I guess. Maybe not pay it forward because it's already happened. And he's probably happy. I hope he's happy as an adult
now. Well, I looked up his IMDb page.
Yeah, he cleans up nice.
Yeah, he looks great. He gave up acting, and I forget what he does now, but he went to college and has just like, he's just a normal dude now. He did the Truffle Shuffle once, and that's it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure people still ask him to do it.
This is for Chunk.
Yeah, this is for Chunk.
Yeah.
If you want to see that menu and kind of what we actually ended up deciding upon for that menu, head to getmunchedup.com and it will be right there at the top, the Goonies. And you'll be able to see the photos as well as the menu itself, which I think we're all really proud of.
And we did Chunk
a
proud.
Lot of deliberation, finally figured out what we were going to
do. Yeah, we've been talking about this one for a while.
We thought about doing like a rich stuff thing.
Or a country club option. Yeah.
And just never, it just never really felt right and never really clicked. But I'm happy with where we ended up.
Yeah, me too.
Now, as for the movie as a whole, we're going to do things a little differently this time. Liana so graciously takes notes during these films that we watch.
I took a lot of notes. I took more notes than usual. It's really a running commentary on the movie.
Which is great, and I think it's going to actually end up being our structure for the rest of this podcast.
Because we didn't, usually when we record, we've just watched the film. And because of various scheduling conflicts, we watched it a few days ago and are recording now. So I took copious notes so that we could remember
I forgot a lot of it, and I saw it, and the kids kind of are blending together. Yeah, I saw it a while ago. Well, like 2 weeks ago, maybe.
Okay.
And I was thinking of, I could think of some characters that had some growth. Oh, wait, no, that wasn't it. That's right. That's right. That one had arcs. That movie was good. I would recommend it to anyone. Yeah. Right. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, so anyway, I can't promise that I got any of the characters' names right. I can't promise
Hold on. We could do a quick characters' names. We got Chunk. We got Mouth. We got
Brand.
Brand is who?
Workout dude.
Oh,
I refer to him as Josh.
Also fair.
Yeah.
Played by Josh Brolin.
Mm-hmm.
We have Steph. We have Andy.
Who's Andy?
Andy is the girl that is like somewhat interested in both Brand and the other kid, which I want to say his name is Sean, but I don't know if
that's actually Sean. Main character? Okay. And then the last one was the kid with the gadgets.
Yeah, Data.
Data. I wanted to say Data, but I thought that was wrong.
No, that's right.
Okay. All right. Well, those are the characters. And
give or take, yeah.
Give or take.
I do not use most of those names.
That's fine. I think we'll know who you're talking about.
I had to look. I think the day after we watched the film, I looked it up because there was like a specific character that I had no idea what her name was.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And just as a result of this film.
Yep.
And like she was kind of a bit character, but like also there. And it was like, all right, I have to look this up. It's bothering me. I cannot speak about her without having a name.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you're welcome to correct me as we go through. Should we start this? Should we go down this dark path?
Let's go.
All right.
I'm ready to hear where both our minds go and where your notes go.
Okay.
Because this was a weird movie.
I think we can all agree
on
that. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Movie opens with a guy who hung himself. And then I wrote in parentheses, psych.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember how that tied back into the movies later. So there's a guy in prison. We see him hanging from a rope, and then he breaks out of prison?
Yep.
Oh, right. And then he hooks up with the criminals.
Yeah, he's like one of the Kelly brothers.
Yeah, that's right.
So I'm going to help you out here. I go, jail breakout, jail on fire.
It seemed like such a small deal. Like it's a single house.
It was
like
so tiny.
A converted schoolhouse or like old church that's just like one story, not even a block long.
It's in Astoria, which I think is a town of like,
it burned down.
You know, it's a 4-digit kind of town.
Yeah.
So probably 1 to 3 criminals at a time there.
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, right.
So it is a big deal that one of the criminals pretends to hang himself
Mm-hmm.
Ah, geez, that was such a surprising open.
For a PG movie. That's when we had to look it up and we found out it was PG.
Because it was, like, very...
No, I think we looked that up later. I have a note about that.
Okay.
Should we keep going?
Yeah.
Okay, so after...
Wait, can we talk about just how weird it is for a kid's movie to open on a man...
Oh, it was a very vivid image of a man, like, who was supposedly dead hung in a cell.
And this is, like, the 80s. If you're flipping through channels looking for a movie... With and your you kids, and you start on that, I would probably just change the channel, and I'd find something more age-appropriate.
Yeah.
Although, this is PG, and I guess that was age-appropriate for the 80s.
Yeah. One question, like, do you feel like this would, like, did this set up the characters in a, like, those Fratelli characters in a specific way that, like, improved upon them? Like, I have to imagine the reasoning for it is, like, hey, these are bad dudes.
I feel like they just wanted, like, a sick opening credit sequence. Because
Wait. Is this, like, sick? Or is this, like...
It's, like, sick nasty.
Sick. Yeah. Sick. That kind of sick. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Because to keep going here, then we cut to the fish kid, the gadget kid, the food kid, the handyman kid. The food kid squashed his milkshake and spilled it, making a huge mess.
Who's fish kid?
Some kid with a fish.
I wrote down, I think it might have been Data.
No, Data's the gadget kid.
Oh, right. Data's the gadget kid. Okay.
Is it Mouth?
It must be.
Is there an aquarium that he, like, looks into or something?
He's, like, out on the pier and he pulls a fish out of a barrel or something.
No.
I took notes, so it happened.
You just wrote fish kid.
Yeah.
You're referencing the same notes we're looking at
here. And then right after that, I said beach race.
No memory of that scene.
Just like a complete blank.
Do you know what that means?
Yeah, I do know what that means.
What does it mean?
So the Fratellis have broken out, and they've driven past all the kids to give them a... like kind of their intro, right? You see all the kids as the Fratellis drive past them. And then the credits end with, there's like a race going on the beach and the Fratellis just drive up and join the race. And that's how they lose the cops.
News to me.
Just like,
yeah,
literally nothing.
I can't wait to find out what else I wrote down that you guys
remember. Okay.
I'm like sitting here racking my mind.
I don't remember it.
Any memory of this.
That was the end of the opening credits. That's why I was like, they wanted a sick opening credits. And so they were like,
they were so sick I remembered it 3 days later almost.
Yeah, they introduced all the characters. They got in a beach race.
Sure.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so that's my theory.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Didn't work, obviously, because we forgot it.
Okay. Should we keep going?
Yeah, let's keep going.
I mean, they just don't make sense like they used to. Or like they do now.
And then I wrote, hanging out at the home.
Okay. Sure.
Chillaxing.
Kid with a comb.
Oh, that kid. That was Mouth. Mouth always was combing his hair.
Can we talk about how Mouth is, like, the worst?
He was always mouthing off. And I think that's where he gets his nickname from.
But, like, I would never want to hang around that dude.
No. No. He was, there was a scene, I'm sure you took notes on it, where he spoke Spanish, and so he was, like, showing the maid around the house.
Oh, my gosh.
And, like, translating poorly to her.
He is, like, the
worst. Yeah.
But, like, translating purposely poorly.
Yes, purposely.
Like, saying, hey, the cocaine goes in the top drawer, the speed goes in the second drawer, and the heroin's on the third drawer.
This is where we stash the bodies, don't go up here. Stuff like that.
Don't mess it up, or we're gonna keep you in a closet with no food and drink, and you can...
It was really weird.
It was really weird.
It was just uncomfortable.
It's also weird because it has a Latinx woman on the end of that joke, in which probably their labor and existence is often taken advantage of, and it just felt extra weird.
It was extra weird.
But it's obvious, like, it's obvious that no adult would take this kid seriously. Mm-hmm. Because he's got this shit-eating grin, and he, like, this stuff is so outlandish. But she has this, like, horrified look on her face. Like, she's believing every word and still working for them. It was a weird scene.
It was very weird.
Yeah.
He's a weird dude.
I'll tell you what.
We had some great moments.
He had some great hair, though.
But
I'll tell you. Yeah, we did.
We'll find out.
I'll tell you what else was a weird scene.
Yeah?
The next one I wrote down was close-up of Michael's balls.
I kind of like that scene in a weird way. Like, the idea of, like, turning around a broken statue penis
oh.
and turning it like upwards in a PG film is like bold.
We haven't gotten to that part yet. Oh, you skip forward.
That's a different part?
Yeah.
Michael's
okay,
balls.
Let me just read you the next couple lines here. I wrote close up of Michael's David's balls.
Michael, the official statue in their house.
Okay.
It was actually like little known fact.
I don't know why I wrote Michael's balls. In the story of it's Michelangelo's David.
Right. Yeah.
I wrote Michael's balls.
I like that.
I know what I meant, so it's okay.
I didn't. Yeah.
No, you do.
Okay.
And this is the official David in Astoria, Oregon. Like that's
in Astoria, Oregon. That's where it's miniaturized.
The fake one is
inevitable. Then I wrote, the bigger one, Josh for Brolin's thing is just working out.
True.
Yeah. Like, and he's also a good boy. Like, he's a working out good boy. Who,
yeah.
Like, wants to be, like, have a bad streak, but, like, he's ultimately a good boy. Mm-hmm. Like, he tries to be harsh to his brother, but he's, like, actually, like,
he's too
we're
nice.
Great
yeah.
brothers.
He's
like,
a good boy.
He's a good dude.
He looks out for his brother.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then I wrote, somehow it's a gag to translate Spanish badly. That goes back to our earlier conversation.
Yep. Covered
and then
it.
I wrote,
that continues.
Then I wrote Pokemon capitalization. Because in the subtitles, they capitalize things weirdly.
Oh, right.
Remember,
that's
like
Zelda.
Yeah, or Pokemon. Yeah, any Nintendo game. It would be like, put the cocaine,
and cocaine
in here.
Was all caps,
and cocaine was all capitalized. This is where we hide the bodies in all capitalized.
You can put the heroin here.
Yeah.
Okay, and then I wrote...
Imagine if it was like in a different color. Then it would like really...
Yeah, that would really... That'd be very Zelda.
Like, remember this.
Yeah.
This is coming back later.
Then I wrote, they glued the penis on upside down.
Good gag. Yeah.
That's like just... That's just
there was a oh, there was a joke there that neither of you heard that
oh,
I
yeah.
did.
Please tell us.
Where they... I don't remember whose mom I was. Well, anyway, they're all kids talking to each other, and they break the David's penis off. And
that's, I think, when I say close up of Michael's balls, because what they show is a close up of the balls detached from the statue, right?
And shaft. It was the whole
and
package.
And shaft, the whole package.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then later they glue it on backwards so it's erect.
Okay, so back to what I was saying.
Yeah.
Which like leads into what you're about to say, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. The whole package breaks off, and one of the kids is like, oh, that's my mom's favorite part. And one of the other kids is like, you wouldn't be here if it wasn't. And neither of them noticed it, and we were talking about the movie later, and I was like, it was such a weird joke for
a
PG
a
movie, and
joke.
They didn't hear it, and I had to explain it to them.
It's a weird joke.
Yeah, it was. It was. But it was also like...
So quick.
Yeah, it was kind of like quick and witty for this movie, which...
And also like through all the noise. Because like one thing about this film is there's a lot of yelling.
Oh, God, I forgot about that. Yeah.
You guys keep skipping ahead. You keep skipping ahead.
We're going line by line, like a snail's pace.
When we get to that point, though, you all know what to do.
Uh-huh.
So I have good news.
Yes.
It's two lines away. Can I just read the one in between?
Go,
I cannot wait.
Okay, the one in between how is this PG... And then I wrote, two shits, sexual torture device, hanging?
Yeah.
They is, yeah.
This is a weird, there
it's
was
a weird
more
film.
Than two shits.
Yeah.
At this point, there had only been two.
Okay, this is people
there
saying shit for the listener. This is people saying shit, not shit shown on screen.
Oh, right,
yes.
Yeah. This is
yeah,
like
there was
verbal
actual
shit,
shit
yeah,
on
never,
screen.
Never shown, no.
That would have probably got them a PG-13 rating.
Yeah.
You think so? I don't know.
Okay, and then
maybe.
The next thing I wrote is a lot of yelling.
A lot of yelling.
Yeah, a lot of cross
just a lot of yelling.
And it was just like
cross
over the top and you
just
couldn't hear anything.
You
a
had
lot,
no idea
yeah,
what
it was the whole thing.
Saying.
It was really good
what
audio
was
experience.
Going on with
so
that? Like,
weird.
Mouth
yeah.
was always...
And then it would just, like, stop and...
And then you would have someone else, like, Bran, come in and, like, start talking all over each other again.
Yeah.
And, like, you could never understand anything.
It was really frustrating
saying.
For me because, like, I just...
It was the worst. It was the absolute worst.
It was just so much noise. You couldn't
I
tell
could
what was going on.
I could not understand anything
yeah.
when
and you
was
didn't...
going
I'm
going
to have
exhausting.
To stop
this is
doing
worst
this
bit.
Because
yeah.
I'm exhausted.
Okay. I don't know how the kids kept it up.
Okay, but that's what the whole movie was like.
Yeah.
What we just did was a good portion of the film.
It
there was a lot I could not
it was.
Understand.
Yeah, it was very
I
bad.
I wonder if there was any, like, really great jokes in what they say during those moments that they lost.
Probably.
Because they
probably
talk
yeah.
over each other.
Yeah.
I like to believe that all the crosstalk was scripted. Okay.
I could actually believe that.
Yeah?
In a weird way.
You
like,
think
if
so?
If you're working with kids, I would trust having them memorize it as opposed to like them improvising it. Like you never know what they can say.
Yeah, that's fair. It's very true.
Okay.
Next line right. item.
They're in the attic. Josh mm-hmm. Brolin looking at pirate pictures. The kid that looks like Samwise is actually him.
That is actually Samwise Gamgee. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun IMDb Google that's captured here.
Which was like part of a surprising realization that there's like a decent number of actors in this film that went on. Mm-hmm. And Sean Astin is his actual actor name. Like that's his name. But I was like a little bit, I didn't know he was a child actor.
Yeah.
I didn't either.
That's how we got to start.
I knew he acted before his Samwise role because he was Rudy in the eponymous film Rudy. But I did not know he was like kicking before then.
Yeah, kicking, you could call it that. He was the lead.
He does have some of the best lines in the whole film. He hasn't said them yet, but I did make note of
but
when
he was
does.
Also very generic. Like he's your good boy kid who's mm-hmm. like
he's pure vanilla
white male straight and just like
blonde.
Yes.
Same thing with the It kid, but he had a stutter mm-hmm. and he like grew over the course of the movie. Where this kid didn't. He was always like the same level of brave and
yes.
Yeah, he didn't grow. No. I really liked it.
He kissed a girl.
He did.
Yeah.
Tell you what.
And he liked
Comb
it.
Comb Kid is the worst.
Comb Kid is the worst.
Yeah.
Can we just talk about how bad he is for a second?
Another second?
Yeah, another second. I just really want to comb.
He was bad. He had nice hair. He was constantly combing it.
Did he?
I wouldn't say he had nice hair.
He took care of his hair.
Are we in agreement on that? I don't feel like he could just
make
that
kind of statement.
Okay,
he took care of his hair. We can agree on that.
He took care. Sure. He did comb his hair.
Mm-hmm. Often.
Do you remember ever having another person in your like group of friends that would be like that? Because I imagine the rest of the kids only tolerated him. Like he didn't mm-hmm. add anything to their friend group. He was kind of doing his own thing. He always felt an outsider of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
And he always made fun of kind of everyone else in a weird way.
Yeah, it's like he's being this loudmouth because he's got some insecurities about himself and he doesn't feel like he fits in, so he takes everyone else down to his level.
And it'd be great if the movie actually got into that, but it doesn't.
Yeah, yeah, no, we can assume, but
even the kids that I knew growing up who would make fun of other kids that they were supposedly friends with, mm-hmm. they still had a heart that you could, like, they were still nice kids. It didn't come off as cold and callous and just rude as Comb Kid.
Mm-hmm.
Comb Kid is a piece of work.
He's tough.
Yeah.
He's something else.
So that's Comb Kid. Then I wrote Chester Copperpot.
It's a good name. He was the one with the treasure that was hidden.
Okay, and then I think I got a little distracted because then I jumped to Haystack Rock in Two Places. So I think what happens in between there is they...
Good point.
Discover the map. They decide to go after the treasure, and then they like race away on their bikes.
They find a doubloon somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And when you hold the doubloon up to Haystack Rock, when Haystack Rock is there's one to your front and behind you, you're right on the line between the two
specific,
Haystack Rocks.
It's a rare occasion.
If you hold the coin up in one eye of the skull and the other eye of the skull and the mouth, you can see all of the rocks. And I
just
don't
works.
Remember what that meant, but
it's right there or something.
We could probably just hit on like the greatest hits because we're like half an hour in and I don't think we've gotten to the treasure part yet.
My notes go a little more fast and loose
okay.
after this.
All right, that's good.
Also, if you let me read more than like two lines at a time, we can go a little
okay.
faster.
All right, let's go.
Okay, so this is the whole next section. You don't need to pedal the bike, fixing the mirror to see up her skirt. The bike wasn't actually ruined. I wrote those out of order.
Okay.
As a single piece, that's like so confusing.
It is.
Like, let's decipher. Like, all right. So is there a mirror on the bike that...
No. Josh Brolin was in the car. There was a girl in the back seat.
Nope.
He was adjusting the mirror.
Still wrong.
Josh Brolin was never in the car.
Exactly.
Douche bro was,
yeah.
Oh, I don't remember.
Okay,
who is the son of the guy who...
Look.
Oh,
So the kids have at this point departed, and they know that Josh Brolin's going to go after him. So what do they, after them? So what did they do? They let the air out of the tires in his bike, right? That's what they did?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's correct.
So that's why I wrote the bike wasn't actually ruined, because I'm pretty sure he like freaks out and is like, you ruined the bike.
Yeah, they say, he says they slashed my tires or something.
That's what it was, but they just let the air out. So good. He rides a kid's bike.
Good. Yeah. Isn't it good?
And he's on the road.
Uh-huh. It's just like classic Goose.
Yeah.
And he's on the road, and approaching him is a car with like the two girls that are about to join the crew and the like terrible bro that's also in the car driving it. And he's using his like rear view mirror to like, how did this even work now? I don't even remember the mechanics.
He, like, I was just explaining.
Flips it like straight down, yeah. But it's like safety issues galore. Like you just can't look behind you.
That's safety to the wind. Yeah.
Come on.
And anyway, they pull up next to Josh Brolin, and he like grabs his arm and like forces him to like go at the speed of the car. And Josh Brolin is frantically trying to pedal with the car.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I wrote, you don't need to pedal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was a very exciting scene that definitely deserved 4 minutes of airtime.
Yes. And Andre.
Okay.
There's a lot of weird stuff in this film. Like if we haven't gotten at it, like, I don't think any of us are necessarily like positive about this film.
I feel good about this next section. Now they're in a house with the guys from the chase scene. It's scary.
Very scary.
He asked for water. He asked for wine. She said, how about tongue?
Oh, what? And then she did something weird after that, didn't she?
How about she gave tongue? Them brown water?
She gave them this like weird brown water.
Oh, that was really gross. But where does the tongue come in? I don't know.
I don't know.
It was gross. It was gross.
Okay, and then we have
that whole character was weird. Like, great to see, like, in a weird way, it's great to see a, like, mother character be a henchman or villain. Like, that is surprisingly rare.
And, like, the head honcho, I guess?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, you never even see that nowadays. And so, like, that was interesting, and, like, there was something interesting there, but I wasn't sure about the depiction of her. And, like, what they were actually trying to get at or why they depicted her as they did.
Yeah, the whole thing was, she was a weird character. All the Fratellis were weird.
Yeah.
She had more character than the one. There was the guy who hung himself. He had a little bit of character. She had a lot of character. The other guy was completely forgettable. The third Fratelli.
Yeah.
Okay, then we have the first of many quotes from Samwise, because I don't remember his name.
Yeah, that works.
Okay. He says, come on, guys. This is our time. This is our last chance to see if there really is any rich stuff.
It's a good line.
It's a very good
line. And he delivers it with such passion and enthusiasm, and it's beautiful.
They probably had to do a couple takes
on
that. Yeah. He hit it on the fourth take.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then I'm just going to read the next couple lines to you. The ogre in the basement. Josh Brolin breaks it up. Girl shows up and is into Josh. Gotta get to the lowest floor. Why are they making out? $50 bill? The yelling.
A lot of questions.
Yeah.
Just a lot.
Yeah. That was the transition. They had to go to the house to find the treasure, and they had to keep going lower. I don't remember anything about the $50 bill.
What is the ogre's name? Smash? Mush.
No. None of those.
What is it?
I don't think I wrote it down.
Oh, man. What is...
Sloth.
Sloth.
I did write it down. Mm.
That's unfortunate. Of a name.
Yeah.
But
well, I feel like it's more of a nickname than an actual name.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
He's a weird character, too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of weird stuff in this film.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like this part of the film was just, like, fast and loose. Like, here's all this weird stuff that's going on in this abandoned house.
Yeah, it was a weird middle between the introduction of the issue.
And then, like, the true treasure hunt.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I guess it was their introduction of the villain, but it was handled strangely.
And it feels like a lot happens in this film that is not warranted, or it, like, happens with no reasoning, or it happens because they want it to happen.
There probably is a reason, and it's covered in the yelling scenes.
Oh, you're totally
like all the exposition happens
yes.
there.
Yes,
you just have to actually pay attention to the singular character amongst everything else.
They wanted it to be a movie that you would watch more than once. Because every time you watch it, you'll hear something new.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like a Christopher Nolan film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just like a Christopher mm-hmm. Nolan. There's so many levels. They go deeper and deeper into the earth. Levels on levels. Time doesn't change, but, you know.
Would you say there's daddy issues?
There's definitely some daddy issues.
Because I specifically asked that because one of the things I wrote down later on is just daddy.
When?
That's a question mark.
Do you want to get there?
That's yeah, let's get there. Mark. Let's okay. work towards that. That's an exciting okay. goal. Yeah.
Daddy.
I smell ice cream. Grape ice cream. That's
chunk.
Mm-hmm. They keep saying shit. It all starts here. Was shit a bad word in the 80s?
Why? I like this like other timeline where just yeah. like everyone's just kids are at second grade are just saying shit, and then uh-huh. over time for some reason
it became a bad word, more taboo. Yeah, like
shit changed and is now an actually bad word.
Apparently,
yeah. I don't know. Remember feeling? I just don't feel any kind of like a. Taboo or like fear of saying bad words anymore. Like yeah. it doesn't have any weight to it.
When I got my yeah. when I got my first job out of college and people would occasionally swear in meetings or uh-huh. in casual conversation, I started to realize that adults just swear. And I was 22 years old.
Yeah.
I think of the mind that like I will still use it consciously, like I'm going to use it in a specific scenario where I'm mm-hmm. like, all right, this thing is messed up
uh-huh.
beyond a certain point, or mm-hmm. like,
and that's when it becomes fucked up.
Yes,
yeah,
very specifically. Uh-huh. And it's like there's at least a thought process there for me.
Yeah,
I
don't think it's there for shit though, to be fair.
No,
I don't know.
Like,
shit's not really, it depends on how you use it.
Like I wouldn't at work say like this is shit. I wouldn't say that. But if something bad happened, I would be like shit.
Depends on what it is.
Shit. I have said that at work.
To
like,
who?
If it's like
doesn't matter.
Okay.
I guess that's a good point. Like that word specifically just mm-hmm. doesn't have the weight.
That and damn.
Like, it's weird.
Damn's a pretty. That one just rolls off the tongue.
I feel like shit's used more comically.
Yeah.
Like, usually when I say, like, I want to say, I don't remember the specific context because I feel like I've said it more than once. But when I say, like, this is shit, it's uh-huh. more like I'm saying it in an exasperated, like, let's uh-huh. have a laugh yeah. about this than yeah. like a, I'm really upset that this is shit kind of. Like, yeah. I wouldn't mm-hmm. say it like that.
Yeah, okay.
But I would sure. say a well-placed fuck does yeah. more than a
yeah.
well-placed shit for humor-wise.
Yes, agreed. Yeah. And it's because it has a K in it, and K is an inherently funny letter.
Is it?
I think people say it a little less, too. So that's, it still has a little bit of weight to it.
Yeah.
That's why they named Kramer in Seinfeld. They wanted it to have, they wanted him to have a K sound.
Why is it inherently? Or is this
it's
like
just a funny,
Seinfeld?
So the only reason I know this is because thing? After my parents and I finished watching all of Seinfeld on DVD, they started watching it with commentary, and there's an episode where Kramer has the Kavorka, and they talked about how they wanted to fit K into as many scenes as possible because they just thought it was like such a funny sounding letter.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Anyway. Hmm. Anyway, should we keep going?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. Why are they messing with the pipes? Why are the pipes reacting the way that they are?
That was weird. Yeah, that's a good scene.
Shower thing.
Daddy.
Oh.
Is that the
it's coming back now. Yeah, because he was in the toilet.
It wasn't him, though. It was some other boy. It was some other boy at the country club. Yeah, he was on the toilet and the toilet started exploding.
Oh, that's what I was talking about. I didn't know if it was.
It wasn't the same boy.
Yeah, okay. All right. But I knew it was the guy on the toilet. The toilet exploded and he said, Daddy.
And actually, I wrote down to clarify, he just sat in the toilet and didn't put the top down.
Yeah, because he had his pants on. He just sat there to do something.
Oh my gosh, I did not notice
And he didn't that. Take his pants down.
I know.
Like, and then the toilet exploded. Can you imagine? Like,
Wait, can we talk through this for a second?
Yeah.
So this is an 85.
Uh-huh.
Smartphones don't exist.
Right. Did he have a magazine?
I did not see a magazine.
I didn't either. I think he just, like, forgot to take. I think the blocking for the scene when Interstall Interstall sits on toilet. Toilet explodes, and then boy, daddy! It had never actually said takes pants off before sitting down.
Guesses on what he was doing.
Resting his legs. Maybe he had been like in choir and he hadn't had a chance to sit.
He
for,
must
like,
have had a magazine
hours.
And we just didn't notice it.
In his pocket, maybe.
I mean, also.
Or like a flip book in his pocket that he just went to flip through.
Just doing some good Sudoku on the toilet.
Were Game Boys out yet?
No.
Yeah,
I don't think so. No, definitely not one you could fit in your pocket.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was before
true.
The Game
that's
Boy
true.
Pocket, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that was oh
that was a good line. I just can't imagine writing that. It had to be improv.
Okay.
Yeah, that's just pure comedy.
Okay, there's a couple good things coming up. All right.
Game Boy came out in 89.
The next thing I wrote was, is this whole movie just a giant dick joke? I'm really glad they cast girls just so they could be afraid of things. And then we have a new quote from Samwise.
That's a good point.
Guys, look, it's a beautiful waterfall.
That was so good.
And it wasn't even it a wasn't, waterfall.
No, it was just like some water was falling. Guys, look, it's a beautiful waterfall.
Like, he was so, like, innocent and...
Yeah, that was a weird one.
Yeah.
It was just delivered really strangely, too.
Yes, it was very... Delivered very strangely.
Yeah.
Would be the
and then apparently he gave a dramatic speech after that. I think that was
Oh, yeah. It's like, or did Mouth give a dramatic speech?
I don't know. Someone
because I think
speech.
That's when they were Shot, under.
Mikey gave a couple, like, dramatic speeches.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think this was when they were under the wishing well.
Mm-hmm.
And
seeing the coins.
They see the coins, and they're like, oh, these coins are dumb. And then Mouth holds up one of the coins, and he's like, no. Do you have a note
no,
on that?
I don't, but I know that it was Mouth.
He was like, no, this was me wishing that I got a treasure, and... Blah, 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 blah.
And then he just dives into the water.
And then he just jumped in the water and was not resolved.
Like, he doesn't get up. He kind of just face plants in it.
Yeah.
Too.
It was really weird.
Oh, it's good.
I know. These are the
That's
scenes
the
that, like.
I've laughed in this film.
I think these are the scenes that movies
we
like Wet Hot American Summer make
times.
Fun of. Just ridiculous things that happen and aren't explained, but.
Just this.
Yeah.
Be dramatic in this scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Then I wrote, does he know what going all the way is? Does he think it's saving a woman from a well?
Yeah, because he was like, are you going to go all the way with her?
Yeah, so this is where the crew underground finds a well that the bro from earlier happens to be at. And mm-hmm. he's talking up his friends like, yeah, I'm going to go all the way with this girl. Meanwhile, the girl is down below. She had joined the crew. Mm-hmm. And
it's called
he
dramatic
talks about
irony
it.
When the audience knows something a character doesn't.
He talks about it in such a vague way that we weren't really sure that he actually knew what the term going all the way meant.
Yeah, right.
And
yeah, I'm definitely going to go all the way.
What happened was he says that, like, I'm definitely going to go all the way. And then all of a sudden down below, she's like, I'm here, save me. And he's like, look what, like, he makes some comment like, and now I can go all the, like,
yeah, right.
Like, this is
like
it.
That.
This is my opportunity. And we're like, no, that's not how it works. Okay. So
that
was that
whole thing, like her movement from being like, save me to like, now nah, I'm just going to put my jacket on this happened so quick.
So fast.
So unnerved.
Yeah. So she doesn't actually go up.
Surprise, surprise.
Okay. Then I have another quote from Samwise. It's our time. It's our time down here.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, that's
yeah,
just,
that's good.
That's great writing.
It's really
it
good
is.
Writing.
Oh,
this really good.
Moving.
Okay, Chunk and the monster bond over candy.
Uh-huh.
Kid saves himself with fake teeth and a slinky.
Right.
Another Samwise quote. I've got to go to the bathroom.
That was good. And I think that's the last thing he said before he got his first kiss, right?
Which was also very weird. That whole thing was weird.
Yeah, it was
very
weird.
I'm just going to keep coming back to how just weird this film is.
It was weird. It was weird.
This kid really does have the best lines. This is neither the time nor the place. I know what I'm doing. Totally shipping them.
Him and the...
So this was a combination of a quote and then me saying that I was shipping people. The two girls.
Okay.
All right.
Because you said that right after the, like, 10-year-old kissed the 16-year-old.
No, this is before it happens.
That's just how it reads.
This is before it happens. One girl says, this is neither the time nor the place. The other girl says, I know what I'm doing. And they're having this conversation. The way it was shot was there were just these two shadows in a cave. And I was like, just make out.
Okay.
Like, also, Steph for sure reads as queer in terms of her haircut and her earring situation. And you could not tell me that that was not a queer woman in that scene.
They should have just embraced it.
Totally.
I was into it.
That is my hot take for this film, is that Steph is actually a queer character and there is stuff going on between Steph and Andy.
Would have been way better.
So much better.
Should have just let it happen. Okay. And then I wrote, somebody's coming.
Okay.
Just don't know what to say to that.
Yeah, I just don't remember that part.
That's just quite a phrase.
Yeah. Here's one that I really don't know. One I've understood almost all of my notes.
Uh-huh.
Here's one I really don't get.
Were you drunk this night? We didn't drink that much.
This is just
we didn't drink that much, but I remember nothing about the movie, strangely enough.
This is shorthand.
I think it was just that bad. Okay.
Nonsense.
This is just.
I wrote, we have to play the vines is just another dick joke.
I don't get it.
Is that lost on all of us?
We have to play the vines. No.
It's possible it was
not a correct situation. I mean, Vine was a social media service that allowed you 6 seconds of video content that would repeat itself.
Yeah.
Is there something there?
I don't think so. Well, we can keep going.
That's a weird one.
Okay, this is another quote. Think there's any treasure here? This whole boat is a treasure.
That was a good one. Yeah.
He delivers it so nonchalantly.
This whole boat is a treasure.
Like, he's now trying to impress her.
Yeah.
And up to that point, I was really buying that Andy was actually interested in Mikey, because she's kind of hanging off of his arm. But, they're in light, so she could definitely see who it is now.
Right.
And then just the delivery of that line is just, oh, I'm trying to pick you up.
Uh-huh.
This whole boat's a treasure.
It's just so you're not Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
You're a 10-year-old kid, and that makes no sense.
The quotes come pretty fast and loose after this.
Let's go.
All right. The white sand is coming out. It's literally all a dick joke.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Wasn't a quote, but just... Well, okay. Someone says the white sand is coming out, but anyway.
Because it was coming out of a tube-like structure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
That's not the first dick joke, because there's the one-eyed Willy's treasure. There's the key that looks like a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a reoccurring thing.
Yes.
Yeah, we said it earlier, the whole movie's a dick joke.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with... David's balls.
It's all about one-eyed
Willy. No, it starts with the David.
A Goonie is actually just a dick.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll get to that. Because the next quote is, so that's why they call you one-eyed Willy. It's when he lifts the eye patch and there's not an eye.
They had to say that. They had to go through that. It's not a great reveal or anything.
Yeah, not at all. What did you think was going to be under the eye patch?
Surprise! He's actually two-eyed Willy.
Wait, this isn't one-eyed Willy. He has two eyes.
This whole thing's a ruse.
Yeah. This is two-eyed Billy's treasure.
That would have been such a good twist.
Yeah.
But also meaningless, Aladdin.
Yeah.
I know.
Especially because Billy and Willy are both nicknames for William.
Okay, yeah. Then I wrote,
It's good.
I wrote, what is a Goonies?
Yeah, because at the very end of the movie, they just started calling themselves the Goonies for no reason. You're a Goonie now. The Goonies are going to win this one. We're all Goonies here. It came out of nowhere.
Yeah, they didn't set it up in a weird way. I don't know what it means.
I think
the reasoning is they live in the Goondocks. The area of Astoria that they supposedly live in.
I did not know that.
And if you live in the Goondocks, you are called a Goonie. Had to read extra into this.
Mm, maybe that was during the yelling exposition.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
But there could be a whole Goondock Saints
way. Yeah.
Or something. I don't know.
It's Boondock Saints.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Oh, you think there's a joke there, maybe? Yeah. Okay. It's been too long since I've seen that movie to reference it.
My favorite thing it's is like, to like say like Nome de Padre here, but not actually say the joke.
And then the audience is left wondering if like it's too over their head or
yeah.
Or if it's just that easy. That's
yeah.
simple.
Yeah. I'm not even gonna make the joke. It's so easy. It's exactly. right there. It's like
it writes itself.
Yeah.
That's really
you
good.
Write it if you want. I just set him up.
Okay. I found marbles. Still don't really understand Sloth. Sloth makes a last sacrifice for the kids. Uh-huh. I love Chunk. And then we get into the end game here. Do you want me to keep going?
Hit it.
All right, this is a quote. That's okay, Daddy. You can't hug a photograph.
There's a lot to that.
Yeah.
I got another quote for you. You're my best invention.
I think that was the dad to his kid.
Yep, and I got one more quote for you. The parts that don't work so good are going to catch up to the ones that do.
That was, talk about this yeah, one? Yeah, we can't.
I just want like an extended dialogue.
Yeah, sure.
And that is the last thing that I wrote down. So we are.
Because that was Andy.
Talking to Mikey.
Yes.
Who throughout the entire film uses a, I want to say respirator, but that's
inhaler.
Inhaler. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So the.
And I think he has braces, but it's established that he's a very good kisser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the inhaler thing, like, it's the inhaler that is, like...
The part of him that doesn't work so good.
Is it? Or is it something else?
How would she know that?
Because the whole movie is a dick joke.
Okay. Maybe.
But why does it not work so well right now?
Because he's...
He hasn't gone through puberty.
That's a fair reason.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a good reason. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
It's a weird word. It's a weird phrase.
It was weird. It was weird.
We were like, we were unsure how to take that
No,
one.
It's for sure his dick. The parts that don't work so good are going to catch up to the ones that do, meaning his mouth. Because his mouth does work good. He's a good kisser. But he has a 10-year-old penis.
That's just weird
no
to say.
Like, the setup
yeah.
is the inhaler. So, like, I don't know the breathing aspect, like.
Well, I mean, okay, let's just say, what if it's not part of the massive dick joke that is this movie?
Sure.
What if it's the inhaler? What is
what does that
the
mean?
Lungs working have to do?
Well, it's what? Like, it works backwards. Like, the lips work, and then it works back, the mouth's going to work pretty well, and then it kind of just goes down. Like, your esophagus is going to work really well, and then your lungs will eventually catch up.
So we're supposed to interpret this
that's
as her.
That's also true. Like,
that's not how it works.
I'm just thinking about this statement. Like, that's just general. It's not.
This is the logic of the movie, not my own.
No. So
like, you say that to anyone with a disability, like,
yeah.
Eventually, that leg that's like half the size of your leg, it's gonna catch up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what she's saying. Is she saying like,
yeah,
your lungs are going to catch up to your mouth, which is good at kissing?
Mm-hmm.
That would be another way of saying what she said.
Right.
Or she was saying that, like, your penis isn't ready yet, but one day it will be. And it'll work as
going
good as your mouth.
Podcast, I think that one makes more sense.
Expect us to talk this much.
About 10-year-old dicks.
I was going to say 10-year-old peen, but
oh,
sure.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
The Goonies.
Sorry.
That was The Goonies. It was
weird film.
Hey,
solid
I didn't...
Surprisingly
yeah.
generic.
I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't want to talk about 10-year-old.
I don't think any of us did.
Yeah,
you said
I'm
the whole
saying,
movie's a dick joke 3 times.
Well, I agree with that statement.
The movie made that choice.
Uh-huh.
I did not make that choice. I just watched a film that happened to be a dick joke.
Sure.
That's on, I guess, me for watching it and
yeah.
the movie for doing it.
Well, you didn't know what you were getting into.
I did not. None of us had seen this film before.
No.
Which is somewhat surprising, I feel like. This
because it's a classic.
Yes.
Yeah, supposedly.
Yeah.
How can this movie be a classic? They hang someone. They make a joke about a sexual torture device.
Mm-hmm.
They say shit so many times. They reference grape ice cream. That's not a thing. And then there's this line at the end about parts that don't work so good.
Uh-huh. I don't know.
What? Like, I'm wondering why this film is viewed as a classic. Like, what about it? Like,
maybe
was there something
else good at the time.
Yeah, like, is it just because this the concept, like, this started the genre, and, like, this is what is interesting about it? It's, like, a group of kids, and they are working, or they find their way despite it all, and like it's a happy tale at the end, and like there's adventure and things like that, or what is?
I can't think of any.
I didn't see anything particular and particularly interesting.
No, nothing unique about it.
The only thing I can think of is just what you said, that it somehow managed to inspire a slew of other kids taking matters into their own hands movies.
Yeah.
And kids like to watch those movies because they're people their age doing things that they don't get to do.
Yeah.
So I think I want to say The Sandlot came out after this. Stranger Things obviously came after this. It like.
Yeah.
And the whole lineage of kids on bikes running.
Yep.
Biking around town.
Exactly.
Yeah. It was just such a weird experience to watch this film in this
now,
day and age.
Because they've done it better.
Yeah.
I mean, even what? E.T. was a 90s movie, right?
Yes.
Maybe late 80s? Early 90s? Because that would be another kid-led movie that is well-liked.
Yeah, that definitely has and that's like even Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
But that could have been a follow-up on this one.
E.T. was 82, so that was earlier.
Oh, it was earlier. Yeah. Okay. Well.
That was about it. That was about the Goonies.
That was the Goonies. I don't know that I have that much else to say about
it. I have nothing else to say on the Goonies.
No, it kind of came and went. I don't think we're ever going to watch it again.
No point.
It was an interesting experience to go back and watch this film. But I would not necessarily suggest it to anyone in this day and age.
No, it makes me appreciate what we have now.
Just go watch Stranger Things or It.
Yeah, much better. I was about to say adaptations, but that's not the right word. Just better iterations of a theme.
Are you okay over there, Andre?
No. I'm not feeling very good.
Okay, Andre's dying.
I've been trying to end it for like 5 minutes.
Andre's dying, so we have to go now.
you're like perpetually like mid-sneeze.
Yeah, I am.
Are you allergic to us? What's going on?
Let's just end it.
Okay.
This has been another episode of the Munch Podcast. Thank you for joining us. You can find our content at getmunchedup.com. We are on Twitter at getmunchedup, Instagram getmunchedup, Facebook getmunchedup or Munch Blog, and Instagram getmunchedup. We have kind of a different presence on each social media, so take a look at that. Enjoy it, interact with us, and send us any messages or questions you would like answered at getmunchedup@gmail.com. And that's been another episode.
Wow, you flew through that.
Thank you. And look forward to our next post on Blade Runner.
Soon.
Good day.
Yeah.